But I don't just really want to kind of talk about freedom. I want to experience it together. Okay, so I want to kind of pray through some stuff. And just a word of testimony, I actually come from an addictive background. So I was saved as a juvenile delinquent and was an addict to crack cocaine and stuff like that. And I really struggled for years and years. I became a Christian I surrendered my life to Jesus, but I struggled with these strongholds, the stronghold of addiction for many years, actually, even as a Christian. I even went to seminary at training school in the Salvation Army. And even still, I remember on the calendar, I could mark sort of springtime as a time where I kind of had to lock myself up. You know, like I wanted to bolt. I wanted to go. I just sort of had this insatiable desire to just go do something wrong. And that was kind of like a recurring problem. It was an issue. And even though I was leading, I remember I went to a session on freedom, and actually it was on helping other people to be free, of course, you know, because that's good. And I thought, well, if I can't be free, I could at least set some other people free. So I went to this kind of seminar, kind of similar to this. And one of the things we did was just walk through some principles of deliverance or freedom, and we prayed through. It wasn't like a crazy prayers. You know, we didn't have to shake, rattle, or roll or anything like that. We didn't have to, like, you know, groan from our uttermost depths, although I suppose some people did. But nothing kind of crazy like that happened to me. I just remember confessing some truths. I remember confessing some sins, some things that I had spoken over my own life that God revealed to me in the moment. And I was just kind of going through it so that I knew what to do with other people to set them free. And then I never even really noticed a change in my life because it wasn't the right calendar year until the calendar year had passed. You know, and I remember about 6 months later, I realized, look at that. I never had to lock myself up. You know, like I didn't even notice anything. And I just realized that I was free. I was free from that kind of habitual desire. The appetite even for addiction was gone. And I realized that actually, so I just want to give you this word of testimony kind of to increase your faith, to believe that God can set us free. You know, we can really be set free. And I think sometimes in today's world, we can become really cynical and doubtful about what the power of God. But actually, the power of God can break habitual sin and can break and cancel the power of sin in our lives. And we really can be free. So I want to say that. Then we're going to actually talk about the principles of staying free and talk to you about some things that we've learned in our lives and some things I've learned myself and how to keep free, not just to get free, which we're going to do tonight, but then to keep free and sort of enter into new seasons of freeness in our lives. Is that cool? What it's going to require of you is some participation. So rather than talking at you, we're going to talk together. It's going to require some intimacy with the people that you're with, you know, so you may want to partner up with somebody, or you may want to be in a group of trustworthy people. They might be the people that you're journeying with already, so that might be good. It's also going to require you kind of participating. So I'm going to suggest, we're going to walk through some steps, and in some of the steps, I'm going to suggest that you get out of your seats and maybe take another posture and do something different, and kind of the worship band's going to come and play a little bit. We're going to do some different things together. Is that okay? You're okay if you don't sit down the whole time? We'll change it up from a lecture style to actually get involved in some steps. Is that cool? Okay, so the first step to freedom we want to talk about, Stephen, do you want to... Pardon?
Did you want them to partner now?
Yeah, maybe actually that's a good idea, so we don't have to do that later. So do you want to find somebody that you're comfortable with talking or praying together? So that might be, if you're a guy, you might want to be with a guy. That might be a good idea, or not, whatever you suggest. So find somebody maybe that you feel comfortable just talking through or praying with, praying together. If you're totally uncomfortable praying with somebody, that's okay. We'll talk about how you can text somebody near you, you know, somebody else maybe that you can pray with later, make a date in your calendar, that kind of stuff. But if you can, it would be really great if you're with somebody that you can pray for. If you don't have somebody, if you're here by yourself, just you could raise your hand. Maybe somebody, some people who are able to pray with people could come find you and sit with you. Anyone? Yep. Would you like somebody? Yeah, fantastic. So maybe somebody. Yeah, you can.
There's somebody. And somebody. Perfect.
Perfect. Is that cool? So you guys, please be comfortable with each other, okay?
While you're doing that, avail yourselves of the freebies from Greg. Thanks, Greg, for the Boundless books. If you read through a Boundless book, you can get saved and sanctified by the end of it. And there's a chapter on deliverance and stuff. So grab one, and you know, if you've experienced all those things, that's fantastic. Give it to your friend that needs to, or your family member. Christmas is coming, you wrap it up, and there's a free gift for someone, right? Speaking of gifts, I got another free one. Just make sure we're Wesleyan here. Anyone that's been to all three evening meetings of the Great Commission Congress and is a teenager, there you are, that is an audio book on Wesleyan holiness by a teenager for teenagers, so it's just for you. All right, there you are. It's called The Uprising, A Holy Revolution. Okay, so look, we're going to base this evening's sort of walkthrough thing on a bunch of steps that William Booth, started Salvation Army, has. He's sort of a ladder to holiness. And there's a key deliverance component that John Wesley liked to play up that a lot of people since John Wesley like to play down. But we're going to play it up again this evening. So some of the steps might not apply for you right now, but just sort of bear with the group. We're going to work from here all the way through. Is that okay? Some will be really quick, some may take a little bit longer, but it's okay. If you've gone through this step already, I encourage you to, not to play along pretending, but in testimony, in remembering what God has already done for you, celebrating it. Is that okay? So the first thing, at one of the earlier meetings, we talked about Jesus inviting us into his life. Do you remember that? In Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus says, "Repent and believe." Then he says, "Come follow me." Do you remember that part? The vast majority of people here have accepted his invitation, I suspect. But there might be some people who haven't. I heard from somebody yesterday that people get saved when they come to Asbury. They're not saved when they get here, and they're saved when they get out. So maybe tonight's the night for one of those people or a few of those people that are in the room. They somehow stumbled into Asbury because they like the sports teams or they're like elementary education major or something like that. Maybe tonight's the night that they're going to get saved. So look, Jesus is commanding each of us to repent and believe, and he's inviting you right now, come follow me. Does that make sense? What we like to teach our kids, we didn't make it up, we heard it from somebody, I don't know, is sorry, thank you, please. You guys heard that one? Sorry, thank you, please. It's pretty easy. A kid can remember it. I'm sorry for my sin. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please forgive me. Please come into my life. All that kind of stuff. Is that all right? So I'm going to pray that. If you've got a relationship with Jesus, you've already accepted his invitation, I'd love for you to pray it out loud with me so that the person or people in the room who are praying it for the first time, who are getting saved, won't feel as sheepish about it. All right? Okay. Sorry, thank you, please. That's how it's going to go. Lord Jesus, sorry for my sins. Sorry for ignoring you. Sorry for disobeying you and disappointing you. Thanks for dying on the cross for my sins. Thanks for persevering for me. Thank you for conquering sin and death and defeating the devil. When you rose again, please forgive me. Please come into my life. I accept your invitation into your life. Please fill me. Please guide me all the way to heaven. I pray this in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Look, that's the first one done already. How's that? Look, it would be great if you just sort of nudged the person beside you and said, look, that was the first time for me. I actually started a relationship with Jesus right now, tonight. It's November 6, 2013 in Hughes Auditorium. That's a pretty good thing. Mark that one down. In the Lamb's Book of Life, the next thing for us is that we ought to believe that Jesus can deliver us and free us. Okay? Now, to do that, we have to believe a few things about God, which I think most of the people in this room believe. Does everyone here believe that God is good? Perfect. Okay. So if God is good, then we know that what God commands, God enables. Does that make sense? I don't want to go beyond what everyone's agreeing with. Everyone's, yeah, we're okay. So what God is good, what God commands, God enables. So if he commands, you know, me to jump over this building, then he's going to enable me to do it somehow. But he didn't command me to do that. If he was a mean God, a mean spirit of God, he might command me to do that. And then I try as much as I can, and I can't do it. I've disobeyed him, and he's going to punish me for it. What kind of a jerk God would that be? We don't serve a God who commands the impossible. So what he commands, he enables. He commands us in a few places, well, lots of places in Scripture, to be holy. Therefore, he must enable us to be holy. That makes sense, right? Everyone okay with that? He commands us to be free. Therefore, he must enable us to be free. People are okay? Okay, so I want to pray a quick prayer. And I invite you to, we're not going to repeat after me, but because it's long. But I invite you to pray it along, okay? From what I've read in the Bible, from what I've heard from my comrades, and by the light, God, you have given to me by your Holy Spirit in my own heart, I now see and believe that it is possible for me to be delivered and to be delivered from all inward and outward sin and be holy in this life. I believe I can be cleansed from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of you, God. I do not expect to be delivered from temptation or sorrow, from suffering, or from the possibility of falling into sin in this world. But I do believe that, God, you can work such a change in my appetites and disposition and give me such a measure of your Holy Spirit as will enable me to live without committing sin. From now, I see that the purpose for which Jesus Christ was born into the world, Father, and for which he lived and died and rose again, was to destroy the works of the devil out of my heart and life. I believe that in the Bible, this blessing of holiness and freedom is offered to me and urged upon my acceptance by the Holy Spirit, and that, God, you are waiting now to cleanse me from all impurity of heart and mind and every bondage of the enemy. Even now, before you, you're saying, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. We hear your word, and we submit our hearts to it. We believe it's true, and we want it to apply to our lives today. We believe that you can free us. We believe that you can fill us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen? Okay, that's good.
Amen. Can I just say that step, it's kind of like a pre-step that we're going to actually get into the action of freedom. But I want to say that it's an essential step because the devil's a liar. Okay, so turn to someone to be beside you and just say, the devil's a liar. Okay, and one of the lies of the enemy, and this is true, you know, even if you keep following the Exodus story, I mean, Pharaoh keeps going, okay, fine, go, and then he keeps changing his mind, right? And he keeps kind of asserting his power and his control. It's a lot like oppression, right? Where sin, a besetting sin, an idol, a false god, a demon, whatever it is, that kind of keeps us under their control, and then we think that we could be free. We're at like a service like this or this morning, and there's this inkling of like, you could be free. The Spirit kind of comes and talks to us, the Holy Spirit, you could be free. You were born to be free, not be a slave. And we have this kind of glimmer of hope. And then the enemy's like, no, you can't. You know, no, you can't. And the devil's a liar. And I see the devil lie to people all the time. I mean, that's his only language. It's the only language he knows. So it's not even like he's trying to lie. It's just the only language he speaks. So the devil's a liar. So it's really important for us to posture ourselves to say, actually, we choose to believe what God says is true. And that's a really important first step. We choose to believe God. Even when it looks unlikely, even when it looks impossible, even when we can't even see how it's going to happen and how we're going to be free, it's really important for us to go, okay, we believe God. And that's that first step of faith, to say, God, you said in your word that we were meant to be free. You said that you have this plan to set us free. You have this capacity to make us holy. You have this thing that you can demolish the enemy. I mean, the scripture says that with the breath of his nostrils, that God can take care of an enemy army, right? Like just with his snot, God can wipe out the enemy. That's what the scripture says. I didn't make that up. That's cool. My 4-year-old boy loves that story. But anyway, Just God sneezing can take care of the enemy. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not too hard for him. And I think that's really, really important for you to understand, just that God, by his Holy Spirit, would impart to us a spirit of faith so that we would understand, oh yeah, this isn't like Star Wars. It's not a cosmic battle between good and evil, and we're not quite sure who's going to win. God is sovereign. He's in control. God is like Yahweh. He is like forever in charge. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. If he says that you can be free, you can be free, right? And so that's something, that's a gift that the Holy Spirit gives you. And so when Steve's praying that prayer, what we're praying along with him is to say, God, please, by your Holy Spirit, somehow break through the lies of the enemy and the devil lying to me every single day saying, I will never be free. That's what keeps us in bondage, is this idea that we can never be free. That's a lie of the enemy. We expose it right now, and instead we choose to believe the truth of God. Is that cool? That's okay. So just turn to someone beside you and say, I told you, the devil's a liar.
Amen. So if you have a Bible, can you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, please, really quickly. Ephesians 4. And we need to move on to some tougher steps. The next one is repent. Repent. So if you have Ephesians 4 and you want to just flip to verse 27. Verse 27. If you have it, can you stand up and read it really loud? It's just one verse, really quickly. Who's got it? Go for it.
And don't give the devil an opportunity.
What translation is that?
Holman Christian Standard Bible.
Look at that! Holman Christian Standard! Okay, does someone have a different translation, like different words than that? You want to read it? Go for it. Oh! What are you guys, like the Holman's Corner or something? Okay, go for it.
4:27. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. So he went and met him on the mountain of God and kissed him.
Okay, that's really good. Exodus 4:27, right? We're just looking for Ephesians 4:27. But that's a good verse. Thank you. Okay, does anyone have Ephesians 4:27? A different version than that? You got one? Okay, go for it.
And do not give the devil a foothold.
Foothold? So we had an opportunity over here. Foothold. Anyone have something else? Yes, go for it.
For anger gives a foothold to the devil.
New Living Translation.
A little funky. Okay. Anyone have something different than that? Anybody? Anybody? No? Okay, look. Any geography majors in town here? Anyone in geography? Do you guys have a major in geography? There is no geography. Yes? No. Minor? We'll even take a minor. We're desperate here. We are? You're a major in geography. Okay, so you know what the Greek word there, don't give the devil an opportunity or a foothold, is topos or topos or something like that. Coming from a word for which you get topography. So a geography major or minor could probably tell us a little bit about topography, what it is. I don't want to put you too much on the spot. You got something good to want to tell us?
It's like the land stuff. I don't know. The land.
The land. There you go. What's that? Oh, thanks. So it's the land. It has to do with the land, sort of the lay of the land, natural and artificial features of the land, topography. So I need a volunteer. Someone want to volunteer? Yeah, you look like you might want to volunteer. You want to volunteer? Don't worry. I'm the one that's going to look bad in this one. Okay, you want to come on?
Steve, you got 3 minutes.
3 minutes? I'm just getting going.
Okay. Yep.
Well, some, come on, hurry up. If you're a volunteer, you're going to help me. Okay, so don't give the devil a foothold, this topos, topography, a place, a hold. So can you grab my foot, please? Can you grab my foot? Yeah, just hold on tight. Don't let go, please. Well, until we're finished the illustration, and then please let go. Now, can you imagine if you gave the devil, no, and I guess in this illustration, you're playing the role of the devil, but don't wear that, okay? Don't receive that spiritually. But can you imagine if he's holding on to your foot, how hard it is to live your life? How do you have a shower when you can't get away and the devil's holding you? How do you go to class? How do you study? How do you play sports with your friends? It's pretty tough because he's holding on to your foot. It's hard to get dressed in the morning because the devil's giving you, he's got your foot. He's got a foothold in your life. Does that make sense? Thanks a lot. Bless you. Okay. Seriously, I can't even tell the one about the camp.
Yeah, the camp, yeah.
Okay, so there's this Salvation Army camp. We're really, really big on camps. And this guy donated. He had this massive property, and he donated some land in the middle of the property to the Salvation Army. We have this camp in the middle. But he continued to own the rest of the property around the outside. And in Canada, anyway, probably the same in the States, there's this thing called right of way. And so as part of the agreement, he had to give us from the highway a legal right of way, like a little road from the highway into the camp, right? So even though it was his property, we could go in and out, like drive right through his property to our camp from the highway 24 hours a day. You know, camp staff, faculty, parents, kids, in and out, crossing his property, even though it was his property. Does that make sense? It just seems logical and reasonable, right? Okay, so in Jude 6, which I'm going to look up because I got it already. I remind you of the angels who did not stay within the limits of authority God gave them, but left the place where they belonged. These became fallen angels, demons. God has kept them securely chained in prisons of darkness, waiting for the great day of judgment. So here, at least according to Jude 6, 1 verse 6, demons are securely chained in darkness. They can only be where there's darkness. And in a similar way to this guy's property in the camp in the middle, there are sometimes, if you're here this morning, you saw in the survey, porn, sex, a bunch of different things, fear. Some people in this room have some darkness in their lives. And if our life is like that guy's property and the sin is like the camp, these demons have a legal entryway, a right of way, 24 hours a day, just like the parents of camp kids, in and out of my life, in and out of my life. Even if God owns the property, if I'm a Christian, if I'm holding on to this sort of weird habitual sin, if I'm in bondage to the sin, I'm giving demons who have to stay in darkness because of the darkness of that sin legal right and legal access into my life. So somehow I got to deal with that. Does that make sense? Okay. Danielle?
Yeah, so we deal with that through confession. And this is, I think, a really important thing because what happens in what we've done with Christianity is we've made it really private, right? And so we confess our sins, of course, to God, who's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's awesome. 1 John 1:9. And we can claim that God is our ultimate forgiver and our ultimate confessor. You know, we're not, you know, we sort of look at Catholics and sort of go, ooh, that's weird. You have to confess to a priest, you know, who then brings your request to the Lord. But we say, no, we, our priest is Jesus. You know, we go directly. But what happens is we privatize our sin. So even in the stuff this morning that we were talking about, so lots of people are regularly, you know, exposed and watching and enslaved perhaps to porn. And the way that they're dealing with their enslavement is through prayer. I have a hunch that that means personal prayer. Right? And so, Chris, because we want to keep those sins private. And when you keep those sins private, I mean, what Stephen has just suggested is that where there's darkness, there's enemy access, right? And when we keep things secret, they still remain in the dark. I think that there's a powerful scriptural truth about confessing our sins. And repentance is like the exposing, the confessing of our sins. We kind of come clean with our sin. I think that's why revival often, one of the symptoms or one of the things that tells us it's a revival are people are just like living in light. They just openly confess. They just start confessing their sins sort of spontaneously, that light begins to come in where there used to be secrecy and darkness and fear, you know, all those things that live in the dark. And so there's another scripture that says, if we confess our sins to one another, we're healed. So we're forgiven if we confess our sins to Christ, which is awesome. If we confess our sins to one another, then we're healed. There's some kind of spiritual principle about letting the light in, right? Is exposing those things and actually repenting and confessing of our sins. I think when it comes to the sexual piece we were talking about this morning, I think this is even essentially part of the bondage of the enemy, is that people are in bondage and now they're in secrecy in their bondage. They're alone in it because there's so much shame attached to that kind of sin, especially in the church. I think when we look at those results of a survey, we understand that there's a lot of people that are suffering from that. There's a lot of people that are in that situation. And so as we come sort of clean together, we realize we're in this thing together and we can actually be free from it together. Okay, so that's why we wanted you to partner up. And what we want to do is we want to give you some time to confess your sin, to actually repent of your sin. So confession is to expose your sin. So to say, look, you know what? That fear thing this morning, that sex thing this morning, that porn thing this morning, that there's this addiction. I've got like a hidden addiction thing going on. I've got like whatever it is that the Lord sort of gives you a revelation of. We're going to ask you to confess it to somebody beside you out loud, just like to expose it. Now, if you don't want to do that, that's okay. Maybe there's somebody somebody else that you want to have an accountability partner. But when we're done these steps, we want to suggest that to continue to walk in freedom means you have to actually have to be real with somebody. You know, you got to actually walk with somebody in spirit and in truth, right? So this is confession and repentance. You confess your sin, you expose it to the light, you expose it to somebody else. You say, this is the stuff I'm walking in. I said it out loud. You're letting the darkness out and letting some light in. Repentance means you're changing your mind about it. You're no longer going towards that. When my son says, look, I'm really sorry, Mom. I said, what does sorry mean? You know? And my son says, it means I won't do it again. I said, that's right. Don't do it again. Right? So it's actually confession and repentance, but actually owning that stuff is half of the battle. Okay? So the band's going to come, and what I want you to do is with your partner or with your group, you might want to find a spot where you're by yourself. You might want to like come to the mercy seat. You might want to lie down on the floor. It doesn't matter. Find a seat beside each other, whatever works for you. But I want you to be free just to spend a couple minutes. It's not going to be like you're going to have to tell your sin to each other really quickly. Okay? So there won't be like heaps of room for tons of emotion. You'll have to do that later. And lots of people encourage that. There should be some sort of emotional release around your sin as well. There should be godly sorrow, right, that leads to repentance and leaves no regrets. But in the interest of walking through these steps together, I'm going to give you 5 minutes, okay? And I just want you to start with just a little prayer. Holy Spirit, please bring some conviction over the things that I need to be free of. We're not measuring our sin. There's no sin worse than any other sin. We're just actually asking God to expose darkness. And then we're partnering with him by confessing our sins to one another in order that we might be healed. Is that cool? You guys are like, I'm so sad I came tonight. No, you're happy. God's going to set you free, right? And so this is awkward and weird, but as long as we privatize our sin, we'll privatize our freedom. It'll never be there, right? Freedom actually will come as we confess things and bring darkness into the light. Then darkness can no longer remain when light comes in. Is that cool? So Holy Spirit, we're just asking right now in the next 5 minutes that you would give us your Holy Spirit, your revelation right now to expose the things in our hearts, the lies of the enemy, the sin, the darkness that lurks in there, the places where we've been enslaved and never free to talk about it, God, that we've never let those things out. And I just pray right now that you would give us freedom and faith, that you would release in us just a willingness to partner with light, you know, to invite your Holy Spirit to come in and bring confession and godly sorrow and repentance that leads to forgiveness and leaves no regrets in our lives, God. Let this be a marked time right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now feel free to talk to each other and to pray with each other and to confess your sin to one another and to go where you need to do that, okay? I'll call you back in 5 minutes. What you've done, the confession has brought light, and brought cleansing in. And then what you're doing basically is just like Stephen suggested, is you're telling that demon or spirit or connection or sin that had access to you, you're saying, actually, I've just cut your access off, right? The blood of Jesus has sort of cleansed me, owns me. You have no access anymore. I'm shutting this door and I'm telling you to take a hike, okay? So to renounce and to reject is to sort of say, I'm no longer interested in this kind of life. And now actually I'm commanding any spirit that would try to have access to me, any besetting sin. Listen, when it comes to sexual sin, this is really important because the scripture talks about the sex act. When you have sex with somebody, the two become one. Something spiritual happens. That's why sex is such a big deal in scripture, because it's one of the means by which God made two people one person, right? So there's this like spiritual thing that happens. Sometimes that's called a soul tie, or sometimes when you have sex with someone, you have some kind of connection to that person that's unhealthy, right? Because it wasn't done in a holy way. And so there's a connection there that's unhealthy, and that can kind of draw you in and kind of keep you in an unhealthy situation. So you want to be able to say, I reject any spirit, any soul tie, any connection that's been formed in an unhealthy or in a dark way. I want to cut that off in Jesus' name and reject it and tell it to go. Okay? Now you can do that because Jesus is in you. You're saved, right? We sorted with that. That was step number one. Remember, salvation. And Jesus is in you. So what you're doing is you're partnering right now in your own freedom with Christ's authority. Okay? So you're in partnership with God. You are becoming free people even in this process, right? And you're standing up. So you can do this with each other, but I don't want you to just pray this over somebody, because this is something you need to do for yourself. You need to say, I renounce this sin and I reject this spirit and I tell it to go right now in Jesus' name. You're not welcome back here anymore. Okay? The access route is closed in Jesus' name. Okay? So I want you to move on to that step. And, you can do these steps later and longer, all night long if you like. That's cool. But we just want to walk it through quickly so that we get to the freedom bit. Okay? So right now, while the band's just playing, I want you to participate. So together, do it in front of each other. Do it out loud, please. That's really kind of key so that everybody can hear, even the spirit realm, right? Can hear you partnering with God. I reject and I renounce the sin, and I tell anything connected to it right now in Jesus' name by the blood of the Lamb to leave me alone. Go away. You have no more access to my life, to my mind, to my spirit in Jesus' name. Okay? And then you can quickly pray for each other that God will seal the deal. Okay? Is that cool? You understand it? You're all looking at me like this. Okay, we'll do it. It'll be fun. Go ahead. Part of rejecting and renouncing and closing off access, as you do this, you know, the Lord's going to give you some insight and some revelation about what this looks like in the natural too. So it's not just a spiritual thing that happens. It manifests itself in the natural. So there are things that we do naturally that allow access to darkness, right? And that give us access to darkness. So computer access, for example, if you're struggling with porn on your phone, then you're going to need to put some software on your phone, or you're going to get an accountability partner, or you know what? Live without a phone for a while. Actually, break the habit. change your behavior. Begin to actually ask the Lord, I want to break this thing off of me. I want to change this repentance, renounce it. I don't want access to the enemy anymore. So whatever those things are, you know, ask the Lord to give you that revelation. But what we do know is that we don't have the power in and of ourselves to be free. Otherwise, we would already be free. We need a power greater than ourselves, which is the Holy Spirit, of course, we know that can empower us and can fill us. Jesus talked about when the house is clean, right? You got to fill it with something, right? You got to fill it with the Holy Spirit. And this is really the final step, is to consecrate ourselves, is to offer every spot that's now open, every spot that's filled with light, every place inside of us that's now been empty. You know, most of the house has been clean, but there's been a little closet. But tonight we kind of got to the closet and we said, okay, that place I never had time to clean, out it comes. Let's take that stuff out of here and we're going to clean it out. And now that it's cleaned out of sin and light's gotten in there, and now it's kind of, you've renounced it and there's no more dark access there, we want to surrender it to the Lord. We want to consecrate it to God, all of ourselves. And we want to ask for the Holy Spirit to fill every part of us, every spot in our mind that used to be filled with darkness, every stronghold that used to be enemy area is now belonging to God and it needs to be occupied by Him. Okay? So this is the last step, but it's kind of a really important one. It's kind of the key one, is to consecrate every part, every place right now. So every hidden spot that's been exposed tonight, every place in your mind, in your heart, even in your body, just to kind of present it to the Lord. My favorite posture for this is just to lie down, because I always feel like Romans 12, you know, I just present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. I just say, take all of me, right? But I don't know what it is for you. You might want to just kneel. I know a lot of you guys have moved over to other places, but just kneel or to lie down and just take a couple, like just 2 minutes each, just praying for each other and say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, Holy Spirit, come and fill every spot right now, every place that has been exposed. Stephen is lying on the altar. He's getting there first. How exciting. Presenting his body as a living sacrifice to the Lord, right? And just saying, you can have all of it. Every thought, every place in my heart, every place in my life, you can have my body, right? And be free from those places. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so just for 2 minutes right now, we're 2 minutes over, but let's do that. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill us. And Holy Spirit, even right now, as we're with our partners and we're with our prayer partners tonight, we just pray right now that by your Spirit, by your love, by your goodness, by your mercy, that you would just fill us right now. You would fill all of us in every way, that you would take our offering of ourselves, our lives, our minds, our thoughts, our hearts, our spirits, our attitudes, our actions, everything that we have, God, that you would take them as an offering and you would consume them by your Holy Spirit. You would fill us. You would use us. You would shed light. You would just pour into us your Holy Spirit with power and with authority. Just pray. Do it. Just do as the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Offer yourself to the Lord. Pray for one another just in the next couple minutes for God's Holy Spirit to fill you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit and for your infilling and for your presence, God, for your promises that are true, for your ability to do what we can't do ourselves, for you to save us from our sin, for you to cancel it, for you to give us power to overcome, God, to dodge and to escape temptation wherever it presents itself. Thank you, God, that you've set in our future freedom, that that's what you declare us to be free. And so we just agree with you right now tonight. We agree that you've called us to be free and that we can be free. And we thank you so much for the freedom that's taken place inside. We thank you, God, for things that are gone, darkness that is left, light that has come, your presence filling us in every way, God. And we just ask that you would consume us as living sacrifices. As we present ourselves to you, we just say, here we are. And we just look forward to how you want to use us and fill us. And how, God, you want to grow in us fruit in keeping with your character, God. That we would become more and more like you in our thoughts and in our actions and in our hearts and in our attitudes, God. That we would become like you in all ways. We're just praying that. We're praying it. We're longing for it. We love it. We believe it. We're living it right now. And I just want to, at the end here, I just want to say, whoever you've been partnered with, what a great thing to carry on. You know, one of the things that we've learned about keeping free is that this process can happen all the time. This living in a state of accountability with someone and actually sharing who you really are with somebody and praying, just saying, you know what? Remember, I confessed that sin. Can you ask me about that every couple days? Can you just say, hey, how's that going? Can I pray for you today? Can we pray with each other? Can we actually be honest with each other? Can we let the light in and walk together on this journey? You know, we need each other in this way. We really do. We need to walk with one another and hold one another up. And so we're just encouraging you to find an accountability group, maybe your roommate or maybe not, whatever that is. But you want to find somebody who can hold you accountable and can pray with you and actually guide you through. And you guys can walk together in new measures of freedom. We call this DISCO, which is discipleship covenant groups, where you actually just say, look, I want to be free in this area. I want to do this in this area. I want to actually have you ask me this a couple times a week. Would you please call me every Monday? Could we pray every Friday? You know, could we actually do this stuff together? Okay, that's our little keeping free. It's usually longer than that, but that's the short version because we're out of time. Okay, so not only does God want to set you free, he wants to keep you free. How many people here believe that what God has done tonight in you is sealed? It's done. He's done it. Right. It's done. Right. He can do this thing and then he can keep you free. You know, this is the devil's a liar who says, oh, sure, you're free tonight. But what about tomorrow? Listen to this. What? The same power that set you free tonight is the same power that's going to keep you free tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that as you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. He can do this thing. I'm a living testimony to the freedom of God. God can do this. It's real. It's true. And he's met us here tonight and he set you free. I can only imagine why. It's going to be so exciting to see why you're free, you know, and all the plans that God has for you. Just whoever's near you, just put your hand on them and say, I declare you free in Jesus' name.